Hello, you are listening to the teaching of Dr. Tony Evans. This sermon is entitled The Program of Prayer and is from the series The Lord's Prayer. Discover what God has to say to you through His Word found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, which says, Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Enjoy the message.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. We've all said it time and time and time again. We've said it in schools, we've said it at sporting events, we've said it at civic events. And what we fundamentally have said is that no matter where we are, there is a national allegiance. We have a commitment to a nation. In fact, a commitment to a kingdom, the United States of America, a constitutional republic that operates by a democratic process. That's where we live. And so everywhere we go, it has been prescribed that we are reminded that we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands. Now, one nation, under God, that can't be divided, indivisible. It's got liberty and justice for all. We've memorized it. We've repeated it. We go, and if you go to a basketball game, there is not a game that's played that does not have the singing of one of our great songs of national allegiance to a kingdom. In fact, you'll hear somebody say in a moment, I know my constitutional rights because I'm a citizen here. You know why you're a citizen here? Because here's where you were born. Well, guess what? When you were born again, you became a citizen of another kingdom. You became part of another civilization, if you will. You became part of another community, the kingdom of God. So we ought not be surprised when the next line of the Lord's Prayer is, Thy kingdom come. In fact, that's all we have time to talk about, those three words, Thy kingdom come. We've already seen the Lord tell his disciples and therefore tell us that when you pray, don't make it a public spectacle. If you're not praying in private, don't try to fool anybody in public. And don't use meaningless repetition. Don't think that God is impressed because you repeat the same thing over and over again without any thought. So if you're going to pray, pray like this. You don't have to pray these words, but let these words give you the pattern for your prayer, regardless of the words you use. Our Father, my daddy, who lives in a whole nother realm, who art in heaven, you are something special. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. You see, when you have gotten straight God's person, then you've got to connect with God's program. And God's program is summed up in the word kingdom. God wants you to do no less than you do to the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the kingdom of God. The word kingdom comes from the Greek word basileia, which means a rule or an authority. When we use the word kingdom, we're talking about the comprehensive rule of God over all of his creation. To put it in the words of a song, this is my Father's world. That puts it all together. God is king. Your daddy is king over his creation. Now, there is a lot in your world and in my world to to cause us to lose sight of the fact that God is king. Because we say, if he's a king over a kingdom, why is there so much mess going on in his creation? Because like in any kingdom, there are those who want to dethrone the king and create their own. So what you wind up with is kingdoms in conflict. Satan, which we'll talk about more next week, has set up a rival kingdom to rival the kingdom of God. To talk about a kingdom means that you understand that your Father, who lives in heaven, sits as the ultimate ruler of his creation. Now, the Bible is clear on this principle, but I want you to be acquainted with a few key passages in this regard. For example, Psalm 103, verse 19 reads this way. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens. Remember, our Father who art in heaven. And his sovereignty rules over all. Your papa is in charge. Psalm 145, verse 13 reads this way. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endures through all generations. He not only rules over all, he rules over all forever. Look at 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29, and listen to the words of David in verses 11 and 12. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in heaven, in the heavens and the earth, thine is the dominion, that is the kingdom. O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and you rule over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Thy kingdom come. Do you understand? When you pray, thy kingdom come, you are talking about a king who rules a kingdom that overrules everything else. That when you touch heaven in prayer, you're not going to some anemic place where who is sitting there can't help you. You are going to someone who sits as sovereign over all. Now here's the point, the first point in the concept of God's kingdom. It is this: I cannot hallow God's name if I'm not willing to service his kingdom. Let me say that again. Don't tell me, or better yet, don't tell God, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now let's discuss my program. That's not how the prayer goes. Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom, not my kingdom, come. You're going to be faced in your life with whose kingdom you're going to follow. You're going to be faced in your life day by day whose kingdom you're going to service. The Lord says, when you pray, pray thy kingdom come. When you are face to face with God's person, he will then unveil his program. You remember Moses? Moses saw the burning bush. He took off his shoes. After he saw the burning bush and came, watch this, face to face with God, hallowed be thy name. Then God showed Moses his program. Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. So the fastest way to get what God's program is for your life, your calling, your purpose, your direction, which job to take, what is his kingdom program for your life, is to hallow his name. Because hallowing his name gets you into his presence, the burning bush. And when you're into the presence, then he can talk to you, the kingdom. Why? Because in his presence, you're going to be concerned about what? His kingdom. To put it another way, your prayer is not, Lord, I'm coming in your presence so that you can service my kingdom. Your prayer is, Lord, I'm coming in your presence so I can service your kingdom. Now that changes things. Now that takes a little faith because you're going to have to decide who has the better kingdom. Okay? And we'll talk about that next time when we talk about the three words, the four words, thy will be done. That's a whole sermon by itself. Now, the kingdom is in heaven. Because, it operates from heaven, like Washington, D.C. operates the United States of America. That's Capitol Hill. Well, the kingdom operates from heaven. That's why prayer is so important. Prayer is important because it is heaven that informs earth. Since God is the king, and since the center of the king is in heaven, because our Father is in heaven, then that means that God originates his kingdom from heaven that it might inform earth. That is, another realm informs this realm. Now, what a lot of folk want is they want the benefits of the kingdom without the rulership of the king. You see, if Jesus and God cannot sit as sovereign over your life, then don't expect him to show you his will for your life. Don't say, Lord, show me your kingdom purpose for me, but I don't want you. I just want the program. Some of us have kids like that. Teenagers, they don't want us, they just want the money. Give me the money. I don't want to hear all that. Just give me the money. They don't want the person, they want the program. So they want the program for them, but not the person. You remember this happened in John chapter 6. Everybody was hungry. Everybody wanted something to eat. Jesus said, Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? Philip gave a great theological answer. I don't have the slightest idea. You got 5,000 people out here. Andrew said, well, I don't know either, because all we have out here is a little boy with a couple of fish and some barley loaves. That's all we have. That's all we have to work with. Well, Jesus said, why don't you bring them here? Jesus brought, they brought the fish and the barley loaves to Jesus. Jesus said a word of prayer over them. All of a sudden, Moby Dick is laying on the beach. Orca, the giant whale, is sitting out there. And now the Bible says, and God fed the 5,000 men, not counting women and children, and there were 12 baskets left over. That was one basket for each doubting disciple. But guess what it says at the end of the story in John 6? It says this. It says, but when Jesus recognized that they wanted to make him king, he disappeared out of their midst. Now, why would he do something like that? I mean, after all, didn't he come to be their king? Why would Jesus disappear when they finally get around to saying, hey, you're the king? Because he understood what they wanted. They wanted Burger King. They wanted a king that was going to keep feeding them, keep clothing them, keep blessing them, just keep the blessings coming. They wanted a Burger King. They didn't want the king that this prayer is talking about. This prayer is talking about the king that rules on high. That's the problem with a lot of our theology today, where you see a lot of people talking about bless me, like God created us to bless us. No, God created us to bless him. And then it is out of that blessing him that we get blessed. God is not in the business of just buying us new cars, new houses, and new clothes, and providing new jobs. As nice as that is, there's nothing wrong with that. But remember, you don't get to give us this day our daily bread to after you finish thy kingdom come. You got to get the prayer in order. Thy kingdom come. So therefore, God rules over this universal kingdom. And the reason why this is important to know that God has a patent on the universe is because when you pray, you are praying to somebody, watch this, who both rules and, watch this, who overrules. Somebody didn't catch that. when you pray, thy kingdom come. You are talking to somebody who rules over all. Romans 11:36 says, from him, to him, through him, for him, everything is for God's purposes. So he rules. And that's enough right there, but I like that second thought. He overrules. And the Bible is full of God flipping things around. Going all the way back to the Tower of Babel when these men decided they were going to become this one great human power. And they were going to be a one civilization race, and they were going to build a monument to man called humanism. And the Bible says, and God confused their language. He overruled. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was something. Tell God, let him go insane. Then he came back talking about, only God I know is one. Let me show you another overruling. Turn to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. The book of Daniel chapter 5, the prophet is full of God overruling. Remember, he overruled Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember that? Nebuchadnezzar said, destroy him in the fire. God said, not today. He overruled. Well, in Daniel chapter 5, we have Belteshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, who became a fool like his granddaddy. And who thought he could mess with God. And so he started messing with God. And so Daniel the prophet came and spoke to him, because in a drunken orgy, he messed with the temple belongings that belonged to God. In verse 21, Daniel is speaking in the middle of the verse, talking about his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar. He said, and the Most High God is ruler over the realm of mankind, that he sets over it whomever he wishes. He will choose who the final victor is. Yet you, his son, Belteshazzar, that you, his son, have failed to humble yourself, even though you knew all this. You knew it happened to Nebuchadnezzar. You didn't pay any attention to it. And now you want to be a big shot. You have exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your nobles, your wives, and your concubines have been drinking wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. He goes on to say, but the God in whose hands are your life breath and your ways have not been glorified. So you'd have glorified your stuff, but you've forgotten the true God. He says, then the hand was sent from him, and this inscription was written out. Now, this is the inscription that was written. Many, many tekel euphrosyne, which means you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Oops. Your kingdom has been taken from you. God overrules. That's why you pray, thy kingdom come. You pray thy kingdom come because God may decide to overrule somebody else's kingdom. He can overrule the kingdom of your boss. He can overrule the kingdom of your friends. He can overrule the kingdom of your enemies. He can overrule the kingdom of Satan. He can overrule any other kingdom as he determines what will be in the best interest of his program. Now, to understand functioning in the kingdom, the concept of the kingdom, it fundamentally means that you're willing to follow the rules of the king. Every king has his own rules. We have constitutions and laws in America that we operate by. So to be part of the kingdom means that you're going to follow his rules. Any of you parents have teenagers trying to set up rival kingdoms in your house? That's a rival kingdom. A rival kingdom is when you say being 11, they say I'm going to come in at 1, and you're not telling me what to do. That's a rival kingdom. That is two authorities in the same house with different rules. And somebody got to move. And it ought to be the one that's not paying the bills. If you come to my house and you drink, you got to leave your Jack Daniels outside. We don't drink. If you come into my house and you smoke, and you say, you got a cigarette lighter? No. And you won't need one. Because you know, we don't smoke. If you come in my house using profanity? No. We don't cuss in my house. Let's say you come in, you say, well, I don't like your rules. Hello. Because when you come in my house, you have to adjust. You have to adjust. It's not right to come into my house and enforce your rules. Because it's my house. I'm paying for it. You didn't offer to take any note. You know, it's my house. This is my father's world. His rules. But like rebellious teenagers, we say, I'm going to be in your world, but I ain't going to do by your rules. And when that attitude is there, none of us is perfect. I'm not talking about perfection. But when that attitude is there, what that means is that you and I lose out on the clarity of his program. Because the kingdom has to do with his program. And a lot of people want to know, God, what is your program for me who is not submitted to his person or unwilling to submit to his rules? God created the universe for himself. He did not create the universe so he could be Jack in the Box. Let me say a word about this before we go on. And that is, the source of this kingdom is spiritual. Look at John 18. Jesus is before Pilate. And this is a very important principle. Jesus is before Pilate, and Pilate has a very, very important question to ask Jesus. He says to Jesus in verse 33, are you king of the Jews? Come on, let's get this plain now. Some folks say you're king. Some folks say you're trying to be king. What is the deal? Are you king of the Jews? Jesus says in verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting that I might be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. It's very important. Jesus is dealing with the source of his kingdom. His kingdom is sourced in a whole nother realm. It's not in this realm. Well, it's in this realm, but its source is not in this realm, because God's kingdom is comprehensive. It includes everything. But its source is another realm. What's the other realm? Spiritual realm. That's why prayer is so important. Prayer transports you to another realm. Prayer takes you out of the realm of the five senses and puts you in the realm of the sixth sense. It puts you in the realm of the unseen, unheard. It puts you in the realm of the things that are outside of time and space. But why is that realm important? Because the Bible says in Daniel chapter 4 that heaven rules earth. Well, if heaven rules earth, then spending all your time on earth isn't spending all your time where the power is. The power is in the unseen realm. That's why the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, that we look on unseen things. We don't look on seen things. Prayer is taking a look into the unseen realm. And God has so hardwired the universe that when the current of prayer flows, it flows from the unseen realm to the seen realm. If we really believe that, we'd pray more. It's because we don't believe it that we pray less. Thy kingdom come. Okay, so that's the concept of the kingdom. Let me say a word about the call of the kingdom. Remember? Thy kingdom come. He's calling for the kingdom. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come, come. I want you, I want you. What does it mean to pray, thy kingdom come? Now we understand what the kingdom is. It's the comprehensive rule of God. But what are we calling him to do? Here's what you're asking God in your prayer. When you get to this part in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, here's what you're asking for. Lord, here's what I want. I want the invisible kingdom that I am relating to now in prayer to become the visible kingdom that I need in my experience. I am asking for you to come out of the invisible realm of your kingdom into the visible realm of your kingdom. I am asking you to manifest your kingdom, not only in eternity, but to make it visible to my five senses in time. I'm asking you to demonstrate yourself. That's what glory is. We'll get to that when we get to the end of the prayer. Nine is the power of the kingdom of glory. You know, what he's saying is to be made visible. We are praying for God's rule among us and through us. When we get a hold of God in prayer related to his program, that is his kingdom, his comprehensive rule, we're asking him to handle the order of affairs, starting with me internally, and then working out through me into the various spheres of life that God has called me to touch. Now, in order for this to happen, that means his plan or his program must be the preoccupation of our lives. Now, of course, it starts with conversion. Jesus came on the earth in Matthew 18. He said, the kingdom of God is in hand. The kingdom is here, and that you must repent and you must come to me in order to get the king, in order to enter the kingdom. Colossians 1:13 says that we've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So if you're here today and you're a Christian, you've gone through a transfer process and you are part of the kingdom of God. But then the kingdom moves from conversion to commitment. I am not only converted, I am committed. I am preoccupied in the pursuit of divine purposes. I want God's program to manifest itself in my life, which is why, again, the next line is, if I'm going to pray thy kingdom come, then I definitely want his will to be done. Now you say, but wait a minute. If I pray like this, then maybe what I want isn't what God wants. Yep. Just thought I'd tell you that. Happens all the time in your house if you have kids. Right? They come, mommy, daddy, I want to. And you say yes sometimes. And you say no sometimes. Now, what makes you say yes or no? Very simply, what's in the best interest of the bigger agenda? You don't say no to be mean. You don't say no to be, you know, well, probably sometimes you say no to be mean, but if you're not ticked off, you don't say no to be mean. You say no because it's not best, at least not best right now. That's why you say no. In fact, you may say yes at another time. But for right now, it may be no. But if you're thinking straight, no is because it's not in the best interest, either of the person asking it or of the bigger program of the home. And so it is when you say, thy kingdom come. Make yourself manifest to me. I want to adjust myself to you. You can't experience God's program for your life and be sitting on the fence. You can't be part-time Christian. And let me tell you something else you can't do. You can't only come to God when you want something for you. Because then you're not praying, thy kingdom come. You're praying, thy kingdom, hold on, till my kingdom needs you. That's not what the prayer says. The prayer says, thy kingdom come. You know, every coach has a game plan for his team. Every coach, when he's hired, brings a particular philosophy of the game to his particular team. The athletes then have to learn the scheme, the offensive scheme, or the defensive scheme of the particular team. They must learn the coach's philosophy. They must adopt it and they must acclimate to it. Sometimes it's hard to pick up a particular coach's scheme, particularly if it's more technical and more detailed. Now, we have some players who are big shot players, and they can get a coach fired if they mess with the superstar. Or the coach may be fired by the owner because the scheme is not working. But the idea is that the scheme is brought in by the coach and the team is to rally around and execute the scheme in order for maximum productivity. Now let me tell you how this works. How this works is that the coach drafts the players. The players don't draft the coach. But in Christianity, we have a lot of players who've been drafted into the kingdom of God, drafted out of the pit of hell, wanting to tell the coach how to run the team. I ain't gonna call names. But what God is saying is, listen, I have a program, I have a game plan. I have adopted you into my family to be part of this plan, and you have a strategic part. But if you're only living for your kingdom and your glory and your plan and how I'm going to bless you today and what I'm going to do for you today and what you need from me today, then that means you're not pursuing me. You're pursuing you, and you want to use me to get where you want to go. Which leads to the final statement I want to make about this. And that is the communication of the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. When you pray that, you're communicating something. You want something to happen. In a general sense, what you want is you want the invisible kingdom to become visible in your experience. You want the concepts of the kingdom to be realized today. You don't want to simply wait to heaven to see God's plan worked out. You want to work in history to see God's plan worked out. So then, what are you communicating? What do you want to see? Well, the first thing you want to see is the power of the kingdom. Remember in Acts chapter 1, when they wanted to know when Christ was going to come back and set up his eternal kingdom, the ultimate answer to the prayer, for thy kingdom come, Jesus said, well, look, it's not for you to know, verse 7, the times and the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. It's not for you to know when I'm going to come back. It's not for you to stand gazing up into the heavens, wondering when Jesus will return. But look at verse 8. Wow. But you shall receive power. You might have to wait for Christ to come back, but you don't have to wait for the power. The power is already here. For you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Then why are we so powerless? If we've got all this God power in us through the presence of the Holy Spirit, it's not a problem of the access of power, because every believer has the Holy Spirit, right? So every believer has the same power source. Then how come some are moving and some are going nowhere? Why is it that some Christians can see the work of the Holy Spirit bringing deliverance, bringing power, bringing victory, and other Christians just see perpetual defeat? May I suggest that one group is concerned about thy kingdom coming, the other group is not. May I suggest that on the heart of one group is to experience the kingdom's power. And how did they experience the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1? Guess what they did? They went to Jerusalem and they went into God's presence. Here we go. He said, you go to Jerusalem, and instead of coming up with a plan and a program that you're asking me to bless, you just go there, lock yourself up in that secret room, all 120 of you, and you stay there until the Holy Ghost takes over. Is somebody following me here? Did you know the best way to get God's plan for your life is not you planning it and asking him to sprinkle a little blessing over it? That the best way to get God's kingdom to unfold in your life and to experience the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit is to live in his presence? There is more power in his presence than in your plans. Because you see, guess what we do? When we plan it, nothing wrong with planning, but when the essence is, I'm planning it and I'm only asking you to bless it, that means when he doesn't bless what we plan, we think he's forsaken us. When it's not that he's forsaken us, he's just not interested. That's not where he's trying to go with you. That's not the direction he's going in. So since he's not going that way, he's going to take his power and use it with somebody who's going his way until you find out that your way is going no way and come over to his way. But the power is available, and they experienced it in his presence. Notice what else that came with this. Came with a great kingdom proclamation. He says, and you will be my witnesses. You know, I would ask, why don't we witness more? Why don't we proclaim Christ more? How can you have such a great gift of salvation and say nothing to nobody? Well, how can that be? There's only one reason that can happen. We are so detached from his program that we don't even want to talk about his person. 1 Peter 2 says that we are a kingdom of priests proclaiming his excellencies. Proclaiming his excellencies. That we talk about it because it's so exciting to belong to this kingdom and to have this king as our personal father, and we want to talk about his excellencies. Let me tell you what else comes with this kingdom and the communication, thy kingdom come. Let me tell you what else. Look at a verse you all know. You read it at Christmas time. Isaiah 9. Watch this. Talking about the prophecy of Jesus Christ, verse 6. For a child will be born to us, and a son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. Remember, it's talking about the child will be called Mighty God. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. Now that's what I want to zero in on, verse 7. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. Let me say that again, because somebody ain't catching me yet. There will be no end to the increase of his government or peace. He's just said at the end of verse 6, he's the Prince of Peace. He comes back to peace again in verse 7, but in between peace in verse 6 and peace in verse 7, he says that there will be no end to the increase of his government. Now, where am I going with this? Here's where I'm going. If you want to have, watch this, this is a good one. If you want to have more peace, he must have more government. If you want to have more peace, peace means lack of chaos. Lack of chaos in your life, lack of chaos in your mind, lack of chaos in your family, lack of chaos in your direction. If you just want chaotic mess, then what he must have is more governing authority in your life. Because as his government increases, your peace increases. That's why the Bible says, don't worry about anything, but in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the God who gives peace shall set up Trojans around your heart. He will keep fear, anxiety, and worry from crippling you. Why? Because he's controlling you. He's controlling you. You want more peace? Don't go peace hunting. Give him more governmental control. And he'll say, I'll set up the soldiers so you can keep your door unlocked. With the increase of government comes the increase of peace. And then we realize kingdom promises. There's so many promises in the Bible. Some are, yes, in eternity, but others are for time. Others are right now. Anything God commands, God enables. God never commands something he doesn't intend to do. That's his program. You say, how do I know what his program is? Well, you start with what he reveals. Don't try to find out what he hasn't revealed until you find out what he has revealed. Because God's kingdom will always go coincide with his word. But then, if you don't know what specific application to make, that's where prayer comes in. And you say, Lord, thy kingdom come. Now, Lord, this is my plan. This is what I think I should do. This is the way I think I should go. This is the route I think I should take. But you know what? I'm not sure whether what my plan is the same as your plan. I'm not sure. So what I want to say is I want to put my plan before you, and then I want to lay on top of it, thy kingdom come. I submit my program to you. I submit my program to you. And when your program comes, then your will be done. They say, but what about me? That's the second half of the prayer. What God is saying is if you get him straight, you'll be well taken care of. That's what he said. You know, in the Olympics, these folk work hard to win a medal in the Olympics, right? They go all out to win a medal. So they get on the runners, get on the starting blocks. They break out there and they go. There's a gold, silver, and bronze winner. And they stand on the platform. Music begins to play. What's the music? The national anthem of the gold medal winner. Let me tell you what the judges don't ask the gold medal winner. They don't ask him, what's your favorite song? What's your favorite song so we can play it so everybody can hear it? You know why? Because even though they ran individually, they ran under a bigger banner. They were athletes representing the United States of America. And so our national anthem is played for everybody else to hear if our person came in as the gold medal winner. Because in the Olympics, you represent your nation. That's a kingdom. God wants you to run for his kingdom. So that when the song is played, it's his song. His glory. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. Forever and ever, amen. And I've never seen a gold medal winner yet frowning because the United States is getting all the credit. You know why? Because when they come home, the United States is so proud of them that they're giving recognition. They're giving a celebration. And God will not forget those who run hard for his kingdom. And let his flag blow high. He will not forget that you did it for his glory.
I trust you are challenged by this message from the series, The Lord's Prayer. And if you would like to order any additional helpful resources, please contact us at 1-800-800-3222 or visit us online at tonyevans.org. This has been a production of The Urban Alternative, presenting the expository teaching of Dr. Tony Evans.